It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
And great to have you with us here as the Golden Knights still out on the ice at City National Arena. They had a practice today at 11:30, so about a half hour into it. Then this team will head east tomorrow to begin their longest road trip of the season. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you at the controls here at Nighttime at Noon. As this team, Shane, coming off a loss in their last two home games, I guess, last night against the Washington Capitals. We expect to be joined by Braden McNabb on the show. Good times for Braden.
Yes.
New contract, 3 years.
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved. It's funny, it's interesting. They've locked up two of their three original misfits that are left, right? Shea Theodore. Recently, I ran into Shea's dad, Cam, is still hanging around from the dad's trip. And I said, what are you still doing here? He's been here for...
Well, why would you leave?
Yeah, it's basically what he said. But he has to leave. I don't know if he has to leave, but he is leaving later today. But he was telling me, my cousin Paul is here, out of camera range, thankfully, visiting from Florida. But we grew up together in Rhode Island, so we're walking through the lobby. We run into Cam Theodore. And he said he would get hounded at customs going back about his son's new contract. So that's
really
pretty, yeah.
No, that,
well, because it's a small little where he flies into.
Small,
everybody knows.
Small
who
border
he is.
Crossing. Yeah. Yeah, I have those in Manitoba. I know exactly.
You know what it's like.
About.
You're a popular guy. Yeah. Not here, but. but in any event, Braden McNabb signing that 3-year extension. He'll join us here shortly. Of course, they signed Shea Theodore to that 7-year deal to stay. Not long ago either. But the Golden Knights. Despite the loss last night to Washington, still in a good spot here. But, you know, you could tell we kind of talked about this on the TVs. The last couple of games for this team, slow starts.
Right? Well, you go back for a while, right? Even in Carolina, just they're, you know, they haven't had the ability to start the games right. And I think, you know, Bruce Cassidy even talked about that after the game. You know, they did a lot of good things. I thought their last, you know, final 40 minutes, the second and third, didn't mind their game at all, but it is a hard league to chase. You hear that time and time again. It is, you fall behind chasing the game. It takes a lot more energy. It's a tough way to play. So that's kind of the correction that needs to be made in their overall game right now. We talk about building game. There's certainly a lot of details that go into it. But right now, starts are the issue for them. And, you know, you mentioned a long road trip. I wouldn't call it a critical, but certainly an important road trip here. Five games. You know, you go out, you certainly, what do you say, at minimum, you need to win three of them.
Yeah.
You know they want to maintain right now sitting atop the Pacific. But, you know, a lot of people right on the heels. And, you know, points are valuable this time of the year. They come back and it's that, we always kind of measure, you know, I'll say the American, use just Thanksgiving for me, American Thanksgiving.
Right.
That date kind of, you know, is kind of the benchmark for, you know, playoff positions going forward. Historically, if you're in, that's usually where you'll be at the end of the year. But still some work to be done and still to build their overall game.
And some work to do too, Shane. You know, we talked about this again, I think, last night and certainly in the game in Utah. The Golden Knights have cleaned up against the Western Conference this year to the tune of, I want to say it's 11-1-1 now, or something along those lines.
So you're writing. If you can't read it,
I can't read this chicken scratch. But I will say this. They have not had much success. 10-1-1 against the West. They have not had much success against the East. Now, it's a smaller sample size. They're one win in six tries against the East. Now, some of that was they had that three-game trip early, right?
Washington, well, it gave away some
Tampa,
points.
Florida.
Yeah.
They will have more than their fair chance to rectify some of that. You know, this trip east is 4 of the 5 or, you know, against Eastern Conference teams, they end up in Colorado. But, you know, a team that I wanted to touch on, I mentioned the dad's trip, right? That continues to be for this team just.
Should be on all road trips.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the players would want their fathers hanging around all season long, but 11-0-1 now all time, and they sweep this most recent one, Anaheim, and then in Utah. And, you know, they did it in different ways, but I guess to your point, you know, they weren't. The starts weren't great in either of those, especially the game in Utah where they were able to rally back from 2-0 down, something they couldn't do last night, obviously.
And they have that ability, and I think that's something always great to have, you know, in your back pocket as a team, that resilience, that belief that you can always come back in a game, but eventually it catches up with you. You can do it to, you know, there's a point of, okay, it's fine, we have the ability to come back, but certainly you look early on, the strength of the team was their starts. The first period goals, you know, amongst the best. So they've kind of just fallen off, but that happens. You know, you go through 82 games, it doesn't always look the same. You got to have the ability to win games different ways, which they have proved, which they have shown. And, yeah, they need to continue. And you mentioned the Father's Child. They're plus 33 goal differential. 55-22, they have outscored opponents in those 12 games. So I don't know how they harness that magic without the Father's physically being there on the trip, but it would be great if they can. And they are carrying over some of that road confidence here as they get ready to take off tomorrow and begin in Toronto on Wednesday.
Yeah, the fifth time they've swept the Dad's Trip as well over the years. So they've done six of them. COVID messed up some of it, but they've done six of these now. And they've gone 11-0-1 all time. Touching on the game last night against the Capitals, again, you know, they're victimized by a slow start. I think we have to start with Alex Ovechkin, who just, you know, it's interesting. We touched on this. It seemed like in the last, especially you had the note last year, it took him
45 games to get to the 10-goal mark, which he came in to last night with 10 goals and 16.
Right, and he left last night with 13.
17,
And so it's pretty impressive to see. You know, we joked around last night, if you kind of try to extrapolate out when, not if, when he's going to break this Wayne Gretzky's record. You know, the thought was maybe in March. Well, if he keeps this up, he could do it by Valentine's Day, if not sooner.
It's hard to kind of explain the significance of this. You know, hockey's been our life. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, to me, set records that we believed were untouchable. And 894 goals seemed like a mark that would be untouchable, certainly in today's game. That has changed from a more offensively driven eras that have previously now with the skill and the way coaches coach and the defensive system, the goaltending is much better. So when you bring all those into the conversation, it's just kind of, you know, mind-boggling that he is doing that. Last year at this time, you thought, okay, there's no chance. He was 38 years old at the time, slow start to the season, said he had 10 goals. At 45 games, ended up with 31. He went on a run at the end of the season. It seems like he's carried that over to this year, which now it has become the talk of the NHL with good reason because, you know, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, set marks that just we thought were unattainable. And here is Ovechkin and putting up a hat trick last night, which you had the stat. I did not know he had not had a hat trick since, did you say, 2022?
Yeah, December, almost 2 years, December 20, New Year's Eve of 22.
For a guy who scores as many goals as he has, it's just, it's really incredible. And now he's tied for the league in the lead with Reinhart and Draisaitl, each with 13 goals. So, you know, Golden Knights, tough loss, but a special performance by a guy that, you know, we've seen Washington twice. I mean, next time if he plays another year, who knows? Will he break it and retire, or will it be this year, do you think? Okay, there's a question. Will it happen this year?
Yes. If he's keeping up this stuff, I think so.
You know,
so
he's 29 to break it.
29 away now. Yeah,
28 to tie, 29 to break
it. So he's got 13 now. So 28, we give him 41 goal season. Yeah, that's certainly right.
42 to break it.
29 to break it.
Yes.
Okay, 42 goals. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He could score 42 for sure. I mean, last year he had
31.
The year before that he had 42. Yeah. Here's the other. There's a couple other.
Well, Washington has surprised people. They're a good team.
Yeah.
Spencer Carberry has done a real good job. I think they made some additions they need to make. Dylan Strome has become the new bit. Nick Backstrom for Ovechkin. Well, they needed that playmaker. I think it happens this year. So an incredible story, and it'll be, you know, like Wayne Gretzky's cheering him on to break it. A big fan of our league, an ambassador, face of the NHL. So it's pretty cool.
The other part of it is, all that being said, the goal scoring for him last night was pretty impressive. He made the defensive play of the game, right, on Ivan Barbashev. Right?
Which he's not known for, but in the second period, that would have tied it at 3.
Yeah.
Golden Knights would have, you know, it's such a game of momentum. That's it, a game of inches, right? Barbashev has that empty net. He gets a little stick-on-stick check, just enough to push that puck wide on an open net. Credit for him back-checking, So I think that, and I think I said it on the broadcast, I said, you know, that to me, I think that's an example of why this Capitals team is doing so well. There's a buy-in. And when you see a guy like Ovechkin making plays like that, it's great they're seeing the goal scoring and they'll be cheering him on, trying to set him up. But when he makes a defensive play like that, boy, does that resonate throughout a group. You're a guy that's been in the league his 20th year, not known for his defensive prowess, but buying into that part of the game as well.
You remember a few years ago, there was video of him, like the other team would be on the rush. He's coming back into the zone, hunched over. Yeah. And that I don't think it was that much of a priority for him. That has changed. And I think a lot of people tell you, a main reason they won in 2018 against Vegas was his buy-in with Barry Trotz, that he was going to play both ends of the ice. And it kind of, you know, you'd know this better than I would, Shane. You played on some great teams in Boston. Yeah. If Patrice Bergeron's going to do it, how does everybody else not fall in line? If Alex Ovechkin's going to do it, if Sidney Crosby's going to do it, how do you not?
Any top team, the buy-in from the top players, Mark Stone here, Eichel, the way we see him defend, how you know he's bought into Bruce Cassidy and how he wants to coach. Your top offensive guys, when you're seeing that, as I said, that sends a stronger message than anything through the team and helps. You know, coaches love it because when they can get their top guys to do it, makes their jobs a lot easier to kind of sell those defensive points to the rest of the group.
The Golden Knights have dropped their last couple of home games. They haven't had the lead in either of those, right? Yeah. They lost to Carolina and they lost last night to Washington. So a team that was 8-0 out of the gates and was, you know, tied the team record for most consecutive home wins. Little different story here the last couple of games, to say the least.
Well, but at the same time, I can't remember a team that went 41-0 at home.
Let me check my notes. No,
you are going to lose some games. So, you know, that's just the reality of the league. You've got to find, you're going to lose games, and it's a matter of, you know, getting back to that home dominance they had. They're going to have to wait a while. Because they're heading out on the road, which is maybe where they need to be right now because the road has been better as of late. So maybe it's the right time to hit this longest trip of the year.
Good news from practice that Mark Stone and Nick Hague both on the ice wearing non-contact red jerseys, which it's a step in the right direction, right, for two guys that are pretty important pieces of what this team does. And you got, you know, Mark Stone, if he's not the, you know, make an argument who's their best all-around player.
Yeah, just the way that line was running, Stone, Barbashev. Yeah. And Dorfey has been good, but, you know, Eichel, Stone, Barbashev. You can throw Stone anywhere. He's going to make that line better. And the power play's still been able to keep going. Carlson, Waugh, both kind of taken that position, have done good. But it's still talking about Mark Stone. And you mentioned, this is step one. Now, you know, Bruce Cassidy, they'll obviously go come off here. They'll evaluate how they feel. Hopefully, you're hoping the progression continues to go up. You don't want any setbacks, but a good sign having them back in team practice, even with the red jerseys. Hopefully next time you see them, they're in a full contact, and then that's another step. And you know, but at least moving forward, and you'd hope to see these two guys on the trip and hopefully participate at some point.
So as of now, in terms of the breakdown here, the Golden Knights have two forwards and two defensemen out, right? You've got Mark Stone and Victor Olofsson. You know, he kind of gets, I don't want to say he gets lost in the mix here, but he's been out a month. He got hurt in the Washington game.
Yeah, and was playing so well.
Yeah, so, and you've got Nick Hague and now Ben Hutton.
Left last
night's game, only played, I think, four shifts in that game and was kind of playing that fourth line right wing. They went with 11-7 again. Stone hasn't played since the Edmonton game. He took a whack from Matthias Janmark, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was
it or
not.
We don't know.
But whatever.
Somewhere in that game, yeah.
And Nick Hague missed some time, came back and played one. He's been out since. So, and Olofsson, I'm in the process of getting a new laptop. Hence, I don't have one in front of me.
Enough papers.
Otherwise, I would look this stuff up. But Olofsson's been out since the Washington game. However many games that is, a month.
Yeah.
And then we'll see the status of Ben Hutton. But at the very least, good to see you've got Stone and Hague back out there and hoping for a return soon. We were hoping to be joined, as we said on the show, by Braden McNabb. We take a peek out our studio window. They're near the end of practice. Still a few guys out there, but it appears to be wrapping up. A reminder for you, attention all dog parents, which Shane and I are, you can now join the VGK Canine Club, a free-to-join community created for fans united by their love of the Golden Knights and their love of their canines as well. Members will enjoy benefits such as an exclusive newsletter, content, information on meetups, and 10% off of all dog-related products at the Arsenal. Become friends forever, Shane. F-U-R. Fur, you get it.
Well
done. Come on. Thank you. I just read it. I don't write it. Join up at VGK9 Club today. It was a big day the other day for Maverick.
Birthday
for the lad. First one. I got some Maverick bobblehead situation.
Yeah, nice bobblehead of Maverick.
Yeah. He doesn't even know it, but he's got a big bobblehead out there for himself. So, anyways, happy birthday to Maverick, and we'll step aside here. Nighttime at noon on a Monday with Dave and Shane continues after this on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
And the Golden Knights starting to wrap up their practice here at City National Arena. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you. Great to have you with us as well on Nighttime at Noon. For you Golden Knights fans this season, be sure to download and sign up for Nighttime Plus today. It's on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, on your TV. You can watch Golden Knights games on Nighttime Plus. It delivers all the locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as some bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. And just a quick note, our next game, Wednesday in Toronto, will be free for all users on Nighttime Plus. So that's where the Golden Knights road trip will begin against the Leafs. If you haven't downloaded and signed up yet, now's the time to do it. Stop messing around. We're expected to be joined by Braden McNabb here shortly. I just wanted a little follow-up, Shane, on the Ovechkin discussion. So our crew here, whatever they do, helps us stay on the air. They looked up some information for me. Good job, whatever your names are. So I said, who's next closest active to Ovechkin, right? Next closest active is Sidney Crosby at 599. So he's right on... right on the cusp of 600. He
doesn't have a lot of runway left, though.
No, he's 21st all time.
There's
right
only
now.
One. So you went to that. To me, Austin Matthews is the only one that potentially 27. Well, he's injured right now. That's the thing, Ovechkin. He's been so durable.
Right.
But 575 games for Matthews, 373 goals. So, he's the only guy that scored at Ovechkin type rate early in his career. But you have there's a lot of things you need to go right to. Continue.
I mean, that's another 520 some odd goals, right?
Yep.
That's a
22
ton.
522 to
thank
be
you rescued. Thank you. Crosby's close to like Jari Kurri.
I didn't go to college like no, Dave either. I guess I BU's graduated. Not as good as it's advertised.
It's not what it used to be, I'll tell you that. Crosby, Jari Kurri's at 601. Gino Cicerelli.
I don't those guys aren't climbing.
Steven Stamkos 561. Yeah. Malkin 503. But anyway, I think you're exactly right. Matthews would be the next closest facsimile, maybe, to somebody.
Maybe.
Maybe.
With a lot of things to go right.
With a lot of things to go right. And you mentioned Ovechkin, who's, I looked at, I think the most he's missed in his, he maybe missed 10 games one year.
It's incredible.
Some of that might have been the COVID stuff. And I'm not positive of that, but I do remember looking that up because one of the narratives.
I got to remember half of the 12-13 season, too.
Right. He would have come over. Am I right in saying his first year was 05-06? Yes. We showed his first two goals last night. I think he was ready to come over that 04-05 because the whole year
I remember.
And Shane, you were still playing then, and evidently we're not compensated for that season because there were no games.
Like taking a year of salary off.
And a kick in the can. But anyways, that's just as a little bit of a look into who would, in theory, give Ovechkin a run for his money. It would be a long, long time if and when he breaks this. Braden McNabb is going to join us here in a little bit. Road trip coming up. We mentioned Toronto and Austin Matthews has been out. They've gone 5-1 without him.
Yeah, so it hasn't been an issue at all.
They've done just fine. But the trip, so you've got Toronto Wednesday, Ottawa Thursday, back-to-back, in Montreal Saturday. Canadiens having a real struggle of a season. A lot of the teams that the Golden Knights are going to see on this trip are having their issues. Philadelphia off to
I think Ottawa,
Colorado,
Ottawa, Montreal, Philadelphia. You got the beginning and the end, kind of two teams. Yeah. Certainly, Toronto is going to be a tough task, and then you finish up with Colorado at the end of it. But you got to win a minimum of three here. You'd like to see that, and that's reasonable. It's not too big of an ask for the Golden Knights to go out and get that job done. We'll see. I think it always helps when you can start on the right foot. It's going to be a tough back-to-back that Wednesday, Thursday, Toronto, Ottawa. Then they get some time. Montreal, Saturday, no better. Excited to call that game.
It's great.
That building on a Saturday night in Montreal. And I think players, like for the Golden Knights players, a lot of them, certainly Nick Waugh from there, those guys, there's an extra boost, jolt, like players get here coming to play in Vegas. When you can play in Montreal on a Saturday night, the atmosphere is incredible. And, you know, there's a lot of history, obviously, with the Canadiens, and that'll be a lot of fun to be a part of that. Then we go to Philly. I don't know what to make of Philly. This Mishkov, though, leading the rookie scoring, so yeah. Certainly that's where they are. They're in the rebuild, and players like him, hopefully Konechny's always one of those guys. I think goaltending's been a struggle for them. But, yeah, an important trip, and, you know, it's good for them that they feel good going on the road. They've kind of gotten their road game sorted out. It struggled early in the year, and they'll need to continue down that path.
Well, you look at it, Toronto, we mentioned, has been able to get by here without Austin Matthews. Yeah. They're second in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Ottawa, you know, the Golden Knights came back
supposed
and beat
to be,
them.
Every year is supposed to be a step forward. They're kind of, it's one forward, two back, two forward, three back.
Yeah.
It's just, we'll see if they can sort things out. I think they're a better team. Yeah. You know, signed Allmark, that was a big thing. They needed a goaltender. They've added some pieces there, some veteran pieces. They got a good young core. Brady Tkachuk's always a threat. He continues to be consistent leading that team. Always a tough game. There's no easy games in the NHL. It's tough. You know, you get caught looking at the standings, and I think it's important that you don't, because anybody can win on any given night.
Well, we just saw it here recently when Ottawa was in town. I mean, the Golden Knights, probably two sides of the story. Vegas wasn't overly good most of that game, but managed to crank it up in the third period and win with three quick goals, but gave the Golden Knights all they could handle, right? You know, to your point, Shane, Montreal's having a tough year. Got to look here real quick. They're either last in the league or tied for last. Point from the bottom. But you never know. You know, you said the energy in that building on a Saturday night. Bruce Cassidy's talked about this, and, you know, we spent a lot of time there in our old stops in Boston, right? That the game seems to happen fast in that building. You know, like things happen, the energy, the crowd, the emotion. But to your point, probably helps both, you know, if you're the Golden Knights.
I think it's great. It's better to go, and this is no offense if we have any Anaheim fans, but that game there, you can understand a slow start. There's just not a lot of energy in that building right now. Certainly there will be. There was for a lot of years, great teams. Montreal always has that. And, Vegas, you know, it's intimidating. I think it, because of the building, the energy here, but, you know, if you're a visiting player, you love going in. Montreal was my favorite visiting arena to play in. Probably because you're in Boston. When I was in Boston in particular, just that level, that history of rivalry, everything. You don't need any extra to get up, get motivated for those type of games.
Well, and a rivalry in that case, it went back to the beginning of time, it felt like. So, yeah, so that's a trip. And then the end of it is in Colorado. And I'm not really sure what to make of it.
They struggled with injuries, right? Yeah. They got Drouin, Lehkonen,
Landeskog's still
Nichushkin's back.
Nichushkin's back. Landeskog. Who knows if he'll play again?
Don't know how that's going to happen. Georgiev, can he get his game? Goaltending's been an issue, but they do have the leading point guy, and Nathan MacKinnon. They have the leading defense guy and Cale Makar. So certainly, still a threat offensively.
Yeah. Well, the Golden Knights beat him in the opener, right here in Vegas, and then it's hard to figure. Colorado seems like. You know, they tend to give up quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
they give to get.
Yeah, gave up
dangerous way to
five
play.
Empty netter against Washington that night. Yeah, I mean, so, but anyways, that is the road trip for the Golden Knights. It's their longest of the year, five games over 9 days. And they're not back at the Fortress until the weekend of Thanksgiving, right? They got the back-to-back Friday, Saturday home games against Winnipeg and Utah. So they'll have an opportunity here on the road. They got themselves a 500 on the road with that win in Utah the other night. And, you know, we'll see how they make out here in this next the five gamers. So nighttime at noon here from our studios at City National Arena. We will step aside. Expected to be joined on the show by Golden Knights defenseman Braden McNabb on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Nighttime at Noon rolls on with Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty on the 18th of November. The Golden Knights will head out tomorrow on their five-game road trip. Quick reminder for you, friends, that if you're ready to score big on some Golden Knights style this season, and the holidays, of course, just around the corner, check out the Arsenal at City National Arena, where we're sitting right now, the Armory at T-Mobile Arena, or go to VegasTeamStore.com for all your VGK gear. Suit up, stand out, show your Golden Knights pride. Don't forget to check out at VGK Gear on Instagram and X for the latest updates to show your Golden Knights spirit. Speaking of Golden Knights spirit, Shane, you've got Braden McNabb here that signs this three-year contract extension with just over 10 schmil. Quietly has been so good for so long for this team.
Well, I think you need these guys, right? He's a no-maintenance player. Coaches love him. Professional on and off the ice, the way in which he prepares himself, it's consistent, hard minutes, like durable guy that barely misses games, block shots, penalty kill, tough matchups. I think this is a real good contract. Both sides, I think, is what, so it's $3.65 million for 3 years. That's the AAV. He's 33 years old, so I did some comparables. Chris Tanev, we're going to see in Toronto, 34 years old, just signed a six-year, $27 million. So 6 years, 30, so until he's 40, at $4.5 million a year. Mm-hmm. I ain't comparable. Brendan Dillon went to New Jersey, 3 years, $12 million. He's a year older, at 34, so $4 million. So when you start doing that, I think, you know, first of all, McNabb wanted to stay here. And I think they wanted him to stay here. So I think this is a real good deal on both sides of it for me. Braden McNabb, really a true pro, original misfit, just fits in so well to this organization, well-respected by his teammates, popular guy, everything there. So I think this is fantastic for Braden and for the Golden Knights organization.
It seems like one of the things Bruce Cassidy mentioned the other day makes his teammates better, right? Makes his partners better.
He's kind of like the fixer, right? Yeah. You need somebody going. You see, Caden Korzak last year when he came in played really well playing with Braden McNabb, gets paired with him. Zach Whitecloud, we've seen at times. When you want to get a guy going because he's predictable. As a D-man, you're with McNabb, he's predictable, you know where he's going to be, he's in his spot, he's always an option, he's always vocal, he's communicating. If you're going to jump up, you know he's back, he's got that long stick, real smart. And then, you know, he has the awareness of guys coming down that right side. If he wants, you don't see it often, guys got to have their head up, but if they don't, he certainly has that ability, and it's a skill to time and hit. And usually it's a thunderous one when he takes someone out.
Earlier in the year, they juggled their defense pairs, and I know they've been a little bit skewed.
They are. They've been bouncing around, yep.
But they broke up Theodore and McNabb. Yeah. They broke up Hanifin and Petrangelo. But then wasn't working out great. Well, I guess not as well as they would like, and they went back to basically how they drew it up, I think, you know, from last year, right, with Hanifin back with Petrangelo, Theodore with McNabb, and back to what you know works.
Well, so yeah, right? I think they have that ability, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like the forward lines. I think, you know, John Stevens, who runs the D, certainly that's more Bruce Cassidy gives him that freedom to kind of run and maybe move things around. And it's similar to coaches. If they're struggling and you see something, all right, let's just switch up the pairs. And I think it's also a strength when a team has that, the guys are comfortable playing with whoever. You can switch, you can move things around. Certainly, you know, last night chasing a game, you're going to see a lot more of Petrangelo, Theodore, Hanifin. You know, three more offensive guys come on the ice as much as possible, the three guys that will play in an overtime 3-on-3 situation. McNabb is just, he has the ability to play with anyone.
And seems pretty unaffected by all of it. You know, like just
got it's a very level demeanor, and that's not an easy thing, you know. Just like any professional athlete, the roller coaster of emotions and ups and downs, highs and lows, and you know, you make a mistake. I think that, and I've spoke about this before, probably as a player, when I played, the toughest thing early in my career was to wash away a mistake, because when you don't, it snowballs into one, two, three more in a game, and then all of a sudden, my ass is on the middle of the bench. So you've got to be able to wipe away, you know, short memory. Okay, that happened, boom, move on, next shift. That's your focus. Shift at a time, you'll hear that analogy used, and I think he's really good at it. Obviously, he's he's been around a long time and 33 years old. He has that in his bag to be able to be, you know, focused on that next play, that next shift, not worry about what just happened.
And it, you wonder, too, like he'll be 36, 37 when this contract's up, yeah. roughly. And for a game that has gotten, it seems like it's as fast as it's ever been, and look, he'd be the first to tell you, he's not the most fleet of foot.
No.
What do they call it? Heavy boots?
Yeah.
But he gets there. He's able to get there.
It's a hockey IQ, right?
His brain.
And for defensemen, it's angles. You know, cutting plays off at the right time, your gap needing to be up, and that, you know, a lot of that is your forwards, the reloads, them coming back, but, you know, him get up in the play. And then he still has some offense to him, which kind of gets understated a lot, but seems whenever he does do a play, it's a high-end offensive play to score a goal. And you know, John Stevens has told us before, for Braden McNabb, you know, don't just look at the offensive zone for his offensive ability. Look at his ability in the D zone to hang on to the puck, to make a play around somebody or be in traffic and make that breakout pass, that first pass to find someone, whether it's in the middle, whether it's up the wall, and then talk about board battles, one-on-one battles. He's always in there and on the right side of winning them.
When he joins us here later in the show, I want to ask him about this, but I do remember him telling us this in the past. When he was grabbed in the expansion draft from the LA Kings, Golden Knights had a slew of defensemen. I just jotted down Lucas Spezza, Clayton Stoner's contract, Nate Schmidt, Shea Theodore, Derek Englund, Colin Miller. Was John Merrill, I don't know if he was that.
Jason Garrison.
That was the one I was. Braden McNabb.
Yeah.
He was just hopeful he could make the team.
Just exactly.
Here
we are in eighth year, and he's signing another contract. Yeah, it is incredible. Yeah. So, yeah, you come in the expansion, they had a ton of those that they, you know, a lot of them they used as assets to move around, but certainly in competition. And it's safe to say he's worked himself into this organization.
Yeah, sure has. He's done great. Golden Knights did a nice job. Speaking of, you know, kind of the – they always are a great tip of the cap to players that come back, right? And we saw with Will Carrier two home games ago. Logan Thompson pretty emotional last night. You know, you could see it in his face and in his eyes. You know, his 3 years here and what it meant to
Michael
him.
Michael Amadio,
I joked with you, they're going to have a lot of these videos this year because they've had, you know, they've had players that have moved on. And But they did a nice job of that last night. But good to see that Braden McNabb's going to be here for a long time to come. You know, Will Carrier was asked after the game against Carolina, did he have to bite his tongue not to yell "Knight" during the national anthem?
Yeah, that's right.
And he said that he's tried to get away from it, but some of it is force of habit. It would have looked a little strange if he were standing on Carolina's bench.
I don't know if the teammates on the Hurricanes are like, what's he
doing? The hell is he doing? Does he realize he's on a new team? You know?
Yeah, it's always hard.
Yeah, but anyway, as I say, the Golden Knights did a nice, not a great result for the VGK, obviously, in either of those.
Neither of those two games.
Losing to Carolina and Washington in their last two home games. But big picture, they're still in a real good spot here at 11-5-2 atop the Pacific Division.
And, you know, we're still kind of in that early part of the year. I think, you know, when do teams know their game? I don't know. It's 25 games in. But, you know, I was looking around the league, Dave, and at this time, so, you know, in the Pacific, Golden Knights are there. I think the big surprise for me is Calgary.
Yeah.
This is a team, Ryan Husk has done a real good job with them. You know, Vancouver, I don't know where they are. And then, you know, Seattle, Anaheim, and San Jose. And then you got, obviously, the Oilers and the Kings. I think the Oilers, slow start again, but they have two of the best players in the world. They're going to find a way to crawl themselves into the playoff picture. I think the Kings have taken a step forward this year. And as I said, Calgary. So, you know, tough things there. And then you look at the Central. I think the Central's strong. The Jets, what a start they've had to the season. But Dallas and Minnesota are right there. And then maybe the surprise in the Central. Although Nashville beat Vancouver last night, but the Nashville Predators, before that win last night, tied at the bottom of the NHL.
And you've got Barry Trotz saying recently, hey, look, if this doesn't start to click, the rebuild will begin.
Oh,
I don't know what kind of effect.
I don't know how you rebuild when you just signed three guys at their age and at their price.
What was the math I did for you? $108 million they committed?
Do we want to start adding
again? Well, probably not. Carry the one. Let's just say over $100 million.
Yes. He committed to Marchessault, Stamkos, and Shea. I don't know how you move any of those guys.
You can't move it.
And here's the other part of it. And I don't know. You could certainly speak to this better than me. If you're inside that locker room and you hear that, do you –
well,
what kind of an impact does it have?
I don't know. Just, who knows? Maybe trying to motivate. That said, they were able – they were out of it last year, and they got canceled from going to the U2 at the Sphere and then ran off, was it 15 in a row?
Yeah.
So – yeah, that's what I mean. It's hard to really say, oh, they're out of it now. We talk about it. I still think there's a point. I think another month of hockey before teams kind of start separating and GM's got to start making that decision. Which way is my team going? Are we buyers? Are we sellers? Are we going? So we're not at that point. And, you know, another one, I was looking at the Metro, which I think, you know, Carolina kind of surprised me. They're at the top of it now. I think Washington's been a surprise there. New Jersey's going to be good, but they've played way more games. Yeah. The Rangers, but Pittsburgh Penguins, talk about what do you do?
Whew. I don't know. You know, they rolled the dice there a couple of years ago. They brought Malkin back. They brought Letang back.
Traded for Carlson.
Traded
you can't have Carlson. The Carlson Burns, two guys that offensive did not work in San Jose. I don't know why Letang and Carlson. And I'm not sure how much commitment there is to defending. Feel bad because Sidney Crosby's still doing it.
So they've given up, Shane. I'm just going to scroll here real quick. They've given up, the most goals in the league. And it's not close. They've given up 80 goals so far. They just gave up another, what was it, 7 the other night or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's games they're just getting hammered. They've given up 80 goals this season in 20 games. I can do that basic math.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up four. There's no way at 4 a night. You're gonna, they just had Jari go down to a stint in Wilkes-Barre in the American League. I don't know what they – you know, some of the other teams in the East.
Well, we got to talk about the one. If we're going to the Atlantic, Florida's just – talk about no hangover for the Golden Knights from the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Certainly the Florida Panthers, the same thing. But do we want to talk about the Boston
sure.
Bruins?
I don't know what's going on. Well, you know what? I have some – as I'm sure you do too – they haven't replaced a couple of the two key guys.
So last year kind of seemed like an overachieve year.
Right. They had Bergeron and Krejci retire. They haven't really filled that. They went out and got Lindholm, but it's
but last year it didn't seem to matter.
Last year they seemed okay.
So I think they thought they could get away, but I think it's starting to show now. Like, is Lindholm going to
– I don't know.
You know, Zacha, Lindholm, Charlie Coyle, great player and had a career year last year. I think that's it. But
is he a third-line center?
Yes.
You know, yeah. The goaltending, you know, they went all through all this with Swayman. You know,
maybe don't trade one before you sign the other.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing too. You could make an argument that was
kind of
mishandled. Is that where they traded Ullmark? They hadn't signed Swayman yet. Now he knows he's kind of got them. Okay, I'd like $8 million a year. Well, wouldn't we all? So, but anyway, yeah, that's. Because the other, you know, I was going to say about the other teams in the East, and Braden McNabb's going to join us in 5 minutes. Is that right, Amber? Is that what that said? I can't see that far. If you watch the games, you know I can't see. the teams in the East that you don't expect team like Montreal, you didn't expect them to be very good. You know, Columbus, Detroit,
Buffalo,
Ottawa. Yeah. But Pittsburgh, now Pittsburgh's missed the playoffs in the last couple. Boston, I think you're right. Last year, they kind of maybe were able to camouflage it a little bit.
That's a good word.
Not so far this year. And in the West, the teams that have been bad, you kind of expect it. Chicago, San Jose, Anaheim, Nashville?
No.
Not so much. Oh, now we have, it's like your cue cards on television. He's coming now, I'm told.
Well, do we want to take a
short break? Well, then we're going to have to get out of here and then come back for Braden McNabb. So we'll do that. Braden McNabb is en route to our palatial studios here at City National Arena, and he will join us next on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Great to have you with us here on KTAN on this Monday, and of course, Bill Foley and the Foley Entertainment Group, they got a lot going on. Part of his portfolio is AFC Bournemouth, and they are climbing the table in the English Premier League. Just had a huge win recently over there as well. So hopefully they can keep it up. They'll take on some of the best football teams in the world. Show your support for the Cherries as they take on Brighton this Saturday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch their matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage, or you can also stream it on Peacock. Make sure also to visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some of your Bournemouth merch, including jerseys, scarves, and more. To learn more and be part of the club's exciting new era, make sure to visit afcb.co.uk. Up the Cherries. Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty, Braden McNabb joining us in studio. Braden, belated congratulations. Three-year deal. What's it feel like when they come to you and say, A, we'd like you to stay, B, this is the math, and C, we were able to get it done? What are the emotions for you?
Yeah, it was, super exciting. You obviously come in not really knowing, but they asked if they wanted to start negotiating, and obviously I wanted to, and being here was priority number one for me and my family. I've been here since day one and take big pride in being here and being a Golden Knight, so very grateful and blessed to, be here this long and hopefully another 3 years.
Was it special that it fell on the heels of been your partner pretty much from day one? I know there's some movement, but Shea Theodore and you, he had his not a little longer, 7 years, but he's got some extra years on you. But that said, does that make it even more special?
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. I'm super happy for him to get that deal. He's earned every penny of that. So, for us to be sticking around together for another 3 years at least, is awesome. We've grown to be great friends, and obviously we've played together a lot and have great chemistry on the ice, so just happy it's worked out this way.
So we were on the road trip recently, and the second part of this I know is accurate, that you didn't tell your defense partner at the morning skate. And the other piece we heard was that Nick Waugh was showing you his phone, or somebody at the team breakfast. Was that right? Was it Nick? It was on the interwebs.
Well, that, yeah.
And you were like, I can't confirm or deny that this is done.
Yeah, I didn't really tell anyone. My wife, I told obviously her.
That's smart.
It's a good first person
to
tell.
It's a good start, yeah. Yep. I told my dad that night once we agreed. But that was all I told, and I haven't signed the contract yet, and I got out on social media somehow, and guys were, kind of just staring, looking at me funny, and Wazzy came up to me. I think it was on when we were on the ice for morning skate.
Yeah.
I couldn't really say much, I guess, at the time. Once the ink hit the paper, then I could start saying stuff.
If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, you wanted to ask him the question.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Because I got the list here.
All right. So let's go back to the way. Let's go back in the time machine. Your mindset when the Golden Knights grabbed you from LA in the expansion draft was what?
I make the team. Try and make the team. It was a lot of unknowns. Honestly, in camp, you kind of get a sense for things, and I was feeling I wasn't going to be here at a certain point, or maybe not be in the lineup at worst. But some things went down. I think Theo had to get sent down, right?
Correct.
That first year to make room. I don't know. How many
guys? Here we go. Because you're curious about who's all. We're trying to name all the defensemen that were selected. So, Lexi Yemlin.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Englund, Jason Garrison, John Merrill, Mark Mathot, I think it was a contract, Colin Miller, Griffin Reinhart, Lucas Pisa, David Schlemko, Nate Schmidt, Clayton Stoner, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, I forgot about him, too.
Oh, yeah.
So that's...
How many is that? 10, roughly? 10 or 11? Is that right?
13.
13.
Including Braden McNabb, sorry.
So 13. I can see why you thought you were.
Yeah, that's that is probably a little intimidating, but at the same time, it's, a little motivation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was down for the draft, too, when they had it. So I think a little bit of me was like, maybe they do want me. That's what I kind of figured. But and then there's 13 guys. They got to cut almost half the guys there. So
only going to keep seven.
Yeah, exactly. So it was... you just went into camp, did your thing, and once you got into your games, you had to get to it right away, because it's basically like a tryout trying to make the team.
Are you at a point now, and obviously you're going to stay another 3 years, but the thought of playing somewhere else, you played elsewhere. You were with the Kings for a bunch of years that you almost couldn't wrap your mind around. Like, this is where you wanted to, we'll see after this contract, but where you'd like to be for the rest of your career anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's become home, 8 years now, and, we'll be going on a decade here soon. And anytime you play somewhere that long, it feels like home, and playing anywhere else would feel weird for sure. You come so loyal to a team, and you just want to be here. You want to win for your team, and you know, that's kind of at the stage I'm at now.
Been around long enough. Former defense, I want to ask you, what have you seen change? What have you changed in your prep, your game plan, and everything over the years to keep this longevity?
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate. Knock on wood, injuries have been pretty good so far. I think the biggest thing is, you know, my, I wouldn't say diet, but just, you know, understanding the overall health, you know, whatever, if it's vitamins or whatever it is making sure you're on top of that with your diet. That goes a long ways, and it's, you know, benefited me. And I do a lot of recovery stuff at home. That's been huge. So just try and stay on top of that. And when something is bothering you, you're, you know, kind of getting ahead of it, so it doesn't become a long injury.
Do you, by and large, eat the same things every day? Is that part of it?
Not necessarily, no. It's game days are game days, right? You probably eating the same meal
forever.
Or, yeah, 755 times in a row, or whatever the number is. So, yeah, that doesn't change. You know, you want to change up what you're having, but, you know, have clean food. That's the gist of it.
That has been the change. I wish I would have known vitamins and recovery, not a six pack of beer and a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo at 1 o'clock
in the
morning.
On a hot fun Sunday.
But that's true. These guys are so conscious about how they take care of themselves and how they move on. And it's impressive to have that longevity.
One quick one for you before we go. We get about a minute and a half. Long road trip coming up, longest of the season. Do you have any strategy for packing for the long trips? Any travel tips?
I pack light. I've used to pack heavy, and it's just a waste. So yeah. I'll bring one suit, maybe two pants, maybe two white shirts, a couple ties, one pair of jeans.
That's impressive.
One shirt.
That's it? That's it. Who's the worst overpacker?
I don't really know. Jack always has a big bag. I don't know. Stoney always has a big one. You know what? I don't know the answer to that. Some guys are different. They like a lot of stuff, but I bring the stuff I need, and I guess if it gets dirty, I spill on myself. I got to buy something.
So you'd be on the simple end, slow end, shorter end of it, yeah.
Who's the best card player?
You're looking at him.
All right. That's what I need to know.
Great. Congratulations again. Great to have you with us today. Great you'll be here another 3 years. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Braden McNabb joining us. He and the VGK will head to Toronto tomorrow. Shane and I will be along for the ride. And next up, the Leafs coming up on Wednesday. It's game one of that five-game roadie for the Golden Knights. Our thanks to everyone here behind the scenes, on the radio, on the TVs. My cousin Paul sitting over here on the wings, not doing anything. I've known that pretty much the entire deal. We've known each other our whole life. So he got to see how this magic happened, Shane. He'll never recover from it. Thanks for joining us on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.